The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Please welcome Mr. Freds.
How's it going, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, your general manager and host of Kings of the Rings podcast, and it's time to kick it a little old school and go back in time with the Fretzelmania podcast exclusively here on Wrestle Addict Radio, The Cure, for the Common Wrestling Podcast.
What is going on, peeps, and welcome to episode 150 of the Fretzelmania podcast. I am the North American treasure, your second favorite Canadian, Mr. Fretz. On this sloppy, snowy February day, I am celebrating my 150th episode of the show on Wrestle Addict Radio. And also, at the day I'm recording, happy birthday to our esteemed Royal General Manager King, Ricky Rose. So I am pouring one for this, and also pouring one out for the late, great Virgil, who passed away this morning. The meat sauce man, the king of fuck money, the $1 million champion himself. So cheers to all of those things. Today I am reviewing Monday Night Raw from March 6th, 2000. We are 4 weeks away from WrestleMania 2000, and as is tradition, I'm going to go grapple surfing and see what else was going on in the wacky world of pro wrestling that particular week. Starting off with WCW, Monday Nitro on this same night, from the Student Activity Center in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. We got Kaz Hayashi defeating Psychosis with Juventud Guerrera. Big Vito, a great follow on Instagram, by the way, defeated Ron Harris. David Flair versus The Wall, brother, ended in a no contest. The Dog, that is the late Al Green, beat Evan Courageous. Kurt Hennig beat Ric Flair. Norman Smiley defeated Lane with Idol, and I was wrong, as I corrected myself at the end of last week's show. Idol is not Damian Sandow, as he may have been a tad too young to be in the wrestling business in 2000. It was Lodi. I should have known that they Russo'd up his name and switched some things up. So apologies to all few of you who listened to that episode. We got Stevie Ray and Big T defeating Booker T, who must have got the letter T back from Sesame Street, and Billy Kidman. And in the main event, Jeff Jarrett and The Wall, brother, beat Sid Vicious and Vampiro. This Nitro is also historic for, well, let's just say a meme-worthy reason. If you are a longtime fan and viewer of Botchamania, shout out to Matthew Gregg, this is the Nitro that featured the infamous Hulk Hogan promo about the Yappapai Scrap Man. Insert every YouTube poop and remix imaginable to that. Yappapai strap match. What is that? I don't remember. I don't know. And I don't care. Big yikes. So we saw a bit backstage here. Other segments in the show. Thank you to prowrestling.fandom.com/wiki. We had a Monday Nitro party at Club Shakers in Durham, North Carolina. We had Jeff Jarrett and the Harris Boys having a chat backstage. We had Mean Woo Gene, you know, interviewing Disco Inferno and the tag team champions, the Mamalutes, because they're going up against somebody at Uncensored for the tag titles. Listen to Mance's podcast from back in the day if you want to learn more about WCW 2000, because the less time I spend on this, the better my sanity and overall mental health is. We also had SmackDown on March 9th, 2000, in the Fleet Center in Boston, Mass., home of my most hated in all of sports teams, the Boston Bruins. We had The Rock defeating The Radicals, represented by Chris Benoit and Perry Saturn, in a handicap match. The light heavyweight champion S.A. Rios defeated Christian by DQ to retain his title. Taz beat Intercontinental Champion Kurt Angle by disqualification, but since this is not a Canadian rules match, Kurt Angle retains. D-Generation X, that is Road Dogg and X-Punk, beat Kane in a handicap match. Steve Blackman beat Jeff Hardy. The Dudley Boys defeated The Rock in a 2-on-1 handicap tables match. Of course, after this match, The Rock got his heat back and rock-bottomed Bubba Ray through a table. Jacqueline defeated Ivory to retain the women's championship. Crash Holly and Prince Albert for the hardcore title ended in a no contest, meaning Holly retains the title. Probably a whole bunch of plunder and backstage shenanigans and 24/7 hijinks resulted in this no contest. And in the main event, The Big Show and Triple H defeated Rikishi Fatu in a handicap match. Now, Monday Night Raw is from Springfield, Massachusetts on, of course, March 6th, 2000. And Springfield. We are here at the home of The Simpsons. Or are we? Bit of sideburg here. I've been to Springfield, Missouri. And their claim to fame is them being home of The Simpsons. But if you remember their episode from, I think, season 12 or something like that, Behind the Laughter, the Simpson family was revealed to be in Kentucky. But, of course, it is just a red herring because where is Springfield? Where do you think Springfield is? The Simpsons' home, that is. Literally, Missouri had all these Simpsons billboards to meet our Simpsons tonight on Fox at 7 Central. And it is a disgusting day out there. So as Homer Simpson would say, lousy, smarch weather. Or I'll let him take care of that.
Oh, lousy, smarch weather.
Do not touch Willie. Good advice. So tonight, our episode of Raw, it kicks off with a promo by Shane McMahon and The Big Show. There was a bit on SmackDown where this budding sibling rivalry is taking place between the McMahon children. Shane and Stephanie just basically having a sibling spat, a sibling civil war on national TV. And there was a bit where Triple H got cracked with the chair by The Big Show. And, you know, they're debating whether this is an accident or not. We hear Rocky chants, fans wanting The Rock to finish the story. Shane and Stephanie are arguing, and Triple H shoves Shane, who says that this is a family matter, doesn't involve you. A family matter. As days go by. Oh man, that'll take you back. Shane says that you connived your way into my family and brainwashed my sister to make her look like a cheap slut. Triple H, tonight in this very ring, take a shot every time you hear that in the Attitude Era. We got Triple H versus Rikishi in a soften you up for WrestleMania match, because at this point in time, it's the Big Slow versus the Game for the WWE Championship in the main event of WrestleMania. When Triple H comes out here, now that Triple H shove thing was on SmackDown, I believe. It's a lot of chance everywhere. Triple H says to the Big Show that he's not in his league. And then Stephanie books the Big Show versus Kane in a match, and that is next. This is also your softening you up for WrestleMania match. And Stephanie slaps Shane for calling her a slut, rightfully so. Earlier today at the hotel, we had the Mean Street Posse waking up Tim White try and wrest the Hardcore Championship off of Crash Holly. The 24/7 rule is now in effect. So the Mean Street Posse send room service to Crash's room. It's like, room service? Room service? Housekeeping, you want towel? Housekeeping, you want pillow? Housekeeping, you want me jerk you off? What kind of hotel is this? So the Posse jump Crash on his bed, and eventually they fight amongst themselves while Crash, in his lucky ducky pajamas, reminding me of How I Met Your Mother's ducky tie. There's a slap bet episode in that one. Pete cracks a lamp on Crash. Then Crash manages to escape, and Pete Gas just decides to eat the room service while Rodney and Joey Abs fight amongst themselves. Our opening contest is Kane with Paul Bearer versus The Big Show. These are future WrestleMania tag team partners, and I believe, did Kane and The Big Show have a match at WrestleMania? I'm going to have to look at this quick. They were, of course, a part of that three-way hardcore title match with Raven at WrestleMania X7 the following year. And, of course, they were tag team partners going up against Carlito and Chris Masters at Mania 22. Thanks, Google. So Kane, the big man, hits an impressive enziguri for someone his size. Kane's going for a running something with the ropes, but Shane lowers the ropes, and Kane jumps through a time portal to electrocute Shane's balls, jumps back into the time portal, and chases Shane around the ring in 2000. Show Pearl Harbor's Kane on the chase to the outside. Triple H and Steph are shown cuddling on the couch, watching on a 13-inch TV. Being a big man match, this is rather slow and plodding, and the show hits a sidewalk slam, also the name of a pretty decent Christian rock group from the early 2000s, from actually this time in history. Neat. Kane hits a running DDT, a super lariat. Show gets the spine buster. Show goes for the goozle, and Kane also goes for the goozle, but Rock runs in with a rock bottom, and we have a disqualification. Rock is ruining yet another WrestleMania main event, preventing the Big Show from finishing its story and getting the title back from Triple H. The nerve of him. Then Kane gets the goozle on the Big Show and chokeslams him. Is this the first time Kane chokeslammed the Big Show? I think it is. It could have been treated like it was a bigger deal, but Shane here, he wants no part of it because he saw what's going to happen to him 3 years into the future and decided to bounce and probably get a cup and maybe a vasectomy. Backstage, Mark tells Mae Young to take it easy. I'll handle the Dudleys by myself. I've never been easy, and I'm not about to be now. Phrasing. You just had a baby, Mae. Baby, I just had a hand. We saw a recap of Dr. Fred Durst delivering that baby hand from last week, and Jerry Briscoe hurling, and I'm pretty sure a large chunk of us watching at the back in the time, were also holding back the chunks. We see the APA promo in a car talking about fights, and oh, it's a Pulp Fiction spoof. As soon as I heard, you know what they call an ass-kicking in Paris? La coute de derrière. Hey, do you know how they serve beer in England? Warm. And they call a cop a bobby. If someone called me a bobby, I'm gonna kick their ass. And then you see Accolade Protection Agency. Because we need beer money. A young James Storm in Tennessee is taking notes. And unbeknownst to him, a young Bobby Roode in Peterborough is doing the very same thing. I think Bobby had been starting his wrestling career, or at least training, by this point in time. Our next contest is Mark Henry, accompanied by Mae Young, versus Devon Dudley, who immediately hits that cyclone forearm, you know, his strong strike attack in No Mercy, I thought always looked pretty cool. Mark yeets Devon into the corner. Bubba Ray tries to get involved here, and Mae Young gives Bubba the Bronco Buster, or as JR called it, an Old Mare Buster. That's a great line. That's a great line. So Mark Henry gets the power slam on Devon and wins this match. However, we have a post-match beatdown, and oh, I know what's cooking here. I know what's going to happen. It's not that one. Guys, calm down. It's not that one. So post-match beatdown, Mark Henry eats a 3D, and then Bubba Ray super power bombs Mae Young, 77 years old, through the table. She gets wood, or mahogany. And hearing, I was listening to some Bubba Ray shoot interviews, some with Chris Van Vliet and others with, I think, TMZ were talking to him. And Bubba says there are two people in life that he'll love until the day he dies and will praise forever. And they are Classy Freddie Blassie and Mae Young. Mae Young got the Dudley Boys over. He loved Mae. And yeah, we see Mae Young get the stretcher job here. She is taken out following that devastating-looking super power bomb. You know, hearing more interviews and more stories about this, Mae Young was basically like, don't you dare go easy on me. You hit me as hard as you can. Do you understand? Yes, ma'am. And they get backstage. It's all hugs and kisses. And it's like, yeah, just like that. Well, God love Mae Young. She was the absolute best. The lesser said about her good friend, Moolah, the better. Our next contest is Too Cool versus D-Generation X. Billy has his shoulder surgery tomorrow, and the question is he a part of DX? Well, since we saw Triple H, Road Dogg, and X-Pac beat him and literally throw him out of the locker room previously, I'm thinking not. But we're not going to see Billy Gunn for about 5-6 months. So on the road to No Mercy or Survivor Series is the next time we're going to see Billy. Immediately, X-Pac sucks chance. X-Pac heat is in full effect. See Scotty Too Hotty doing that moonwalk tag to Grandmaster. I love that taunt. Grandmaster with arm drags for both. The dancing drop kick. We get a double elbow by Too Cool. X-Pac is sent over the top rope, and according to Ole Anderson, who we also lost this week, that could be a disqualification. Grandmaster gets the hot tag, and we got a power slam. Bulldog, W-O-R-M, denied, and then after Too Cool clears the ring, W-O-R-M again, and he hits it. We got a double flapjack to X-Pac. Grandmaster Sex says hip-hop drop is denied by Tori. Get a Bronco Buster, and before X-Pac could do anything else, that's gotta be Kane. We see the pyro go off. We get another disqualification because the Road Dogg ate a chokeslam, and X-Pac bails. X-Pac is officially a terrible friend. X-Pac, Kane chases X-Pac and Tori up the ramp, and Too Cool send Doug out of the ring to send the fans to the concession stands for a commercial break happy. Immediately leading into our next match, this Monday Night Raw is just spot after spot after spot. It is flowing rather nicely, just like this coffee stout that I am drinking while recording this. Two of my favorite beverages, coffee and beer, at the same time. Perfect. Kurt Angle says that I am your Olympic hero, your European champion, and an intercontinental icon. You know, despite my success, I could end up a nobody like all of you. It's true. It's true. Or worse, I could be a has-been like Chris Jericho, who is a washed-up former champion, a long-haired, sideburned, potty mouth. Mattingly, I thought I told you to trim those sideburns. Jericho comes down to the ring here, cutting his own promo, saying that Kurt has bad breath, B.O., he's an Olympic geek, he's a 30-year-old virgin who still lives with his mom, blah-blah-blah-blah-blah. This match here, we have great back-and-forth technical mastery here. Techers, as they would say. Y2J has the walls on, and he's about to win back his championship, but is jumped by, of all people, Bob Backlund. Now, we recently saw him take part in the Royal Rumble match, and here he is back in the WWE trying to make Kurt Angle great again. He, of course, locks Chris Jericho in the chicken wing, my submission finisher. Like, when I was a kid watching the Bob Backlund versus Bret Hart feud, that would be putting my unsuspecting friends in the crossface chicken wing. Good times. Afterwards, Bob Backlund raises Kurt Angle's hand. So we are seeing a new partnership here between the former WWE champion and the future WWE champion. Bob Backlund. Now, that is a man you don't want to mess with. I mean, the man's in his 70s, and he's still a genetic freak. Scott Steiner, eat your heart out. You pumped your genetics into you. Bob is a collegiate athlete. He's a nut. He'll, like, do a headstand. If you go and meet him at an autograph signing, apparently he'll make you recite the presidents or something. He's actually a really smart man, too, and he is all for education. Like, I'm pretty sure that running for president bit and all these campaignings he was doing, the running for president bit wasn't a shoot, but I think him trying to educate people was, because he's always on the ball. He is a interesting cat, that Bob Backlund. Backstage, we see Rikishi's butt, leading into our next match of Rikishi versus Triple H. You know, when they get in the ring, they have a quiet chat about running over Stone Cold Steve Austin a couple months ago, saying, hey, you're going to get hot now, but you're going to be a heel and you're going to run over Stone Cold. So enjoy it while it lasts. Pedigree is reversed into a Spagingo, which is then set up for a bonsai drop that is denied. And then Triple H, for the first time in his career, eats a stink face. I thought this could have been something that could have been built up to a little bit more, but it was still fun nonetheless. We get Steph with the distraction. Triple H hits a low blow. It's a clothesline and Rikishi, and as is tradition, Rikishi does that amazing 360 bump that only he can do following a wicked clothesline. We get the knee face buster. We see here, more slut, slut, slut chants rain down from the Springfield faithful. Somewhere, Helen Lovejoy is, won't somebody please think of the children? Sex cauldron. I thought they closed that place down. We get a Samoan drop. We get a super kick. Kish goes for the bonsai, but Triple H Triple H gets the chair. We have another disqualification tonight. And The Rock comes in here and he hits a chair. Hits Triple H with the chair. I did it for The Rock. Or The Rock did it for Rikishi. The bloodline is still in effect 20 years previously. We got a Rock Bottom. And Rock allows Rikishi to hit the Banzai Drop, this time for real. Too Cool come out with Rikishi's superpowers, the Yellow Shades. We get a dance off, and we get the kids sent to the concession stands happy for another commercial break. Backstage, the Big Show and Shane are seen going into the office slash private party locker room of the McMahon-Helmsley regime. Backstage, Al Snow is talking to a producer who said, you know, last week with that discount version of Personality Song by Steve Blackman was awesome. This week, Head Cheese, like, I want something. I want small people coming out with platters of cheese. And, oh, here comes Steve. And Steve says, if you do that, I'll rip your throat out. So then we get Matt Hardy versus Steve Muffuggin Blackman in our next match. Head cheese, or if you will, cheek meat. Because that is where you get head cheese. You know, you go to the deli counter, head cheese. Why does it look like bologna? It's because it's meat from the cheek of the pig. And my grandpa Fritz, God rest his soul, could make a mean head cheese. You know, Fritz is, a lot of us are butchers. So if any of them are listening in the meat room right now, shout out to them. We get a tornado DDT is reversed into a throw here. Lillian accidentally says that Jeff Hardy is in this match. But then when I saw Matt get involved, I was instantly confused. Then I went back to my SmackDown notes and thought, okay, so we're getting head cheese Hardy boys. We're getting this feud. So there's a crossbody to the outside by Matt. We get a wicked spot where Blackman picks up Matt for a gutbuster from the apron and drops Matt right on the steps, right on his guts. Matt hits the Russian leg sweep, the finisher of Virgil R.A.P. We get a German suplex by Blackman and a super pump kick from the top rope for the win. Backstage, the Big Show and Shane McMahon book The Rock versus Benoit in a cage. And Triple H and Steph basically say, stay out of our business. And Show and Shane basically say the very same thing. So we'll see how that plays out a little later on. We see one of the first Mankind Chef Boyardee commercials. And King's like, we just got rid of him. He's retired and he's shilling Chef Boyardee. This isn't the Statue of Liberty one. This is the empty warehouse Chef Boyardee commercial. Beefy. Those were some good times. Terrible ravioli. Like, I do not recommend Boyardee at all. Get nasty. Our next match. Edge and Christian versus Perry Saturn and Stinko Malenko, accompanied by Eddie Guerrero. And here comes Terry for reasons. Be on commentary. Terry is just talking smack about the Hardy Boys and, you know, still bitter about the whole situation there. JR asking her if there's a purpose being out here. And yes, her purpose out there is to be catcalled and hit on by Jerry Lawler, and even asking her, do you have any plans later? Oh, whatever, man. Terry interferes, or she kind of interferes. She tries to help Edge on the outside of the ring, but she is bumped into by Malenko, and Edge kind of falls on top of her. Edge takes the bait and is checking on Terry. Meanwhile, in the ring, Saturn and Malenko hit that total elimination on Christian, win this match. Terry then just pops up. She devils dances up the ramp. And I thought she was going to leave with the radicals because she would, you know, accompany them in the coming weeks and months. But we're not quite there yet. Edge and Christian kind of argue on their way out of here. And yeah, we got the She-Devil is still bitter at the Hardys and Edge and Christian just being a general nuisance. Our next match, we are doing match after match after match. This is going to be a short episode. And this Monday Night Raw is flowing pretty decently. But we're coming to a screeching halt because we got Viscera versus Crash Holly for the hardcore title. Tonight, Monday Night Raw is brought to you by SmackDown for the PS1. Burger King. Is this a rib? Seriously, Andre Lawler, is this a rib? And Skittles. Taste the rainbow, mofo. Oh, SmackDown for the PS1. Now, I didn't play that game as much as I played SmackDown 2 Know Your Role. But I still had good time. Like this was the start of, well, basically the games that we have today on like PS5, Xbox 360 and whatnot. And this was a great place to lay the groundwork for those future games. The creation suite for these first few were rough. Like my creative guy, like my frat's creative guy was literally Jeff Jarrett's head on fill in the blank body, whatever I was feeling. But you had backstage matches. You had some other gimmick matches. You had the roster of 1999. Not too bad. But SmackDown 2 took that and improved upon everything that it possibly could. Crash gets a chair. It's not very effective. We have a schmoz. We have Crash sent into the steps. We see a bunch of plunder, and yep, this match winds up backstage with the foreign objects of mops and trash cans. They wind up in catering, and kind of in the background of catering, you can see the APA's little office. You can see the door. You can see the poker table, and them just sitting there playing cards, smoking a cigar, having a beer, just chilling. And eventually, Viscera is sent through the door and onto the poker table, ruining their game. We get a 2x4 shot onto Viscera, and Crash Holly capitalizes and retains his title. Unfortunately for him, he ate a clothesline from hell for both of them ruining the poker game. The APA then argue over having a full house or four aces or two aces. Good stuff here. Just APA shenanigans, backstage, hardcore title shenanigans, I'm always up for. They're really, really fun. Speaking of really, really fun, we got Michael Cole and The Rock talking about the upcoming cage match with Chris Benoit. Finally, The Rock has come back to Springfield. And finally, The Rock is going to get a super squishy from the Quickie Mart. The Rock loves the steel cage. You know, I'm going to stick this boot up sideways, candy ass, if you smell the usual Rock promo. Backstage, the Mark Henry attempts to jump the Dudley boys, but the numbers game takes advantage of Mark and the boys beat him down. You get a promo. It's 4 weeks till WrestleMania 2000 and probably less than that. For the WrestleMania 2000 review on this podcast. Finally, the main event. The Rock versus Chris Benoit, and Lillian Garcia announces that the only way to win this match is to jump over the cage. No pinfall, no escaping the door, only escape. Take note of that. The Rock jumps in immediately and yeets Chris Benoit into the cage. The Rock tries to climb out, but as does Chris. DX come to ringside along with Shane and the Big Show. We get a bunch of high-angle suplexes by Chris Benoit. The Rock chases Chris Benoit up the cage. Benoit is crotched onto the top rope. We see chops. The Rock is tied up a la Andre the Giant into the ropes. We get a spine buster. We get them both on the rope again, and then the Rock slips under Chris, hits a powerbomb. Rock tries to climb out, but Triple H climbs after him on the outside. Triple H climbs to him from the outside, tongue twisted there. Eventually, Triple H is knocked off of that on top of the Big Show, and the Rock wins. We then see an attempted beatdown where the Rock is yeeted into the cage. Triple H goes for the chair, but accidentally hits the Big Show. Shane escapes the cage, and The Rock is looking to finish his story at WrestleMania 2000. So, 4 weeks away from WrestleMania, I've looked ahead, and next week, not only do we get Mae Young getting powerbombed through a table again, yes, it's that one, but I'm going to give you a heads up now. Next week is going to see the return to TV of redacted Vince McMahon. Now, I thought about how I am going to handle this, as he is going to be a pretty much permanent fixture on TV for the rest of the year and for most retro reviews until I decide to stop doing this. So, I can't pretend like he doesn't exist. I can't pretend that he's not there. I can't pretend that he's somebody else, because Cultaholic, Matthew Gregg and Tom Campbell on the SmackDown review, they are currently in 2002 SmackDown that I already reviewed, and they're treating him like a different person each week due to viewer requests. Like, 1 week he was Dr. Robotnik. The next week, he was Dr. Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So I'm not going to steal that gimmick. I'm just going to say Vince is here. He says this. And I don't think I'm going to be doing the McMahon, the impression anymore. I don't think it would be in good taste due to the ongoing lawsuit with Janelle Grant and the allegations up against him. And I've said it before. If these wind up true, if Vince winds up like arrested or charged or something, and you know, if it's true, put him under the jail. So no more Vince impressions. Hold me to that. But he's going to be on TV and on a good chunk of the programming going forward. So heads up. Okay. Okay. That'll do it for this one, folks. Follow me on all my social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads, when I remember to use them, at Fretzelmania. That's FRETZLEMania. This podcast is on Wrestle Addict Radio. Say it with me, kids. The cure for the common wrestling podcast. Home of the Kings of the Rings podcast. The Young Lions Perspective, and Grace for Impact. Join our Discord. It's a small, little, fun network of wrestling fans and friends who just shoot the breeze and share memes and have a good time. Our Discord is a really good time, so please join up. We got merch, links for all that in the description below. So until next time, TTFN, ta-ta for now. And keep your stick on the ice.
This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.